Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. I just got back from vacation. I spent a delightful 10 days in Iceland, learning so very much about volcanoes, glaciers, lava, waterfalls, northern lights, sheep, and fish. And believe me, fish are big in Iceland. I was on a boat bouncing around the North Atlantic, and some of the people were catching fish, and they were cleaning them right there on the spot. It was really sort of gross, but when the guide placed the lens of a fish eye right in front of me and said, "You can pick it up," well, that was a challenge, and I did. It was the eye from a cod, and it looked like a sparkling, multifaceted marble in my hand. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I started thinking and wondering if there is any research being done using fish eyes. I looked it up, and sure enough, yes, there is. Here is the result of my quest. The research news comes from the Vanderbilt University website, www.vanderbilt.edu. The headline reads, "Fish eyes may hold key to regenerating human retinas." This was written by David Salisbury, and it was published in March of last year, 2017. The article is accompanied by a picture showing Vanderbilt biologists James Patton, Mahesh Rao, and Dominic Didiano. They are pictured in the zebrafish facility at Vanderbilt University. Who knew? A zebrafish facility. If you were a fish, the article says, and your retina was damaged, it could repair itself and your vision would be restored in a few weeks. Sadly, human eyes don't have this beneficial ability. However, new research into retinal regeneration in zebrafish has identified a signal that appears to trigger the self-repair process. And if confirmed by follow-up studies, this discovery raises the possibility that human retinas can also be induced to regenerate, naturally repairing damage caused by degenerative retinal diseases and injury. That would include age-related macular degeneration and retinitis pigmentosa. This research was performed by a team of biologists at Vanderbilt University and is described in a paper titled "Neurotransmitter-Regulated Regeneration in the Zebrafish Retina." This was published online March 9th in 2017 by the journal called Stem Cell Reports. Next, we have a quote from you. From the article, "The prevailing belief has been that the regeneration process in fish retinas is triggered by the secreted growth factors, but our results indicate that the neurotransmitter called GABA, I'm going to call it GABA, that's a neurotransmitter called GABA, might initiate the process instead." This is according to James Patton, who was the Stevenson Professor of Biological Sciences at Vanderbilt, and he was the director of the study. The quote continues, "All the regeneration models assume that the retina must be seriously damaged before regeneration takes place, but our studies indicate that GABA can induce this process even in undamaged retinas." And once again, that GABA that I'm referring to is, they describe it just as a neurotransmitter. And the quote continues, "This work opens new ideas for therapies for blinding diseases and has implications for the broader field of regenerative medicine." This is according to Tom Greenwell, who is a program officer for retinal neuroscience at the National Eye Institute, which funded this study. It turns out that the structure of the retinas of fish and mammals are basically the same. Although the retina is very thin, it's less than half a millimeter thick, the retina does contain three layers of nerve cells: photoreceptors that detect the light, horizontal cells that integrate the signals from the photoreceptors, and ganglion cells that receive the visual information and route it to the brain. In addition, the retina contains a special type of adult stem cell called Müller glia. I'll spell that. It's M-U-L-L-E-R, and that U has an umlaut over it, so you say it Mueller, something like that. Mueller glia, G-L-I-A. This is a special type of adult stem cell called the Mueller glia that spans all three layers and provides mechanical support and electrical insulation. In fish retinas, they also play a key role in regeneration. When regeneration is triggered, the Mueller glia de-differentiate, and this means regress from a specialized state to a simpler state. De-differentiate, regress from a specialized state to a simpler state. The Mueller glia also begin proliferating and then differentiate into replacements for the damaged nerve cells. Mueller glia are also present in mammalian retinas, but they don't regenerate there. Graduate student Mahesh Rao got the idea that GABA, normally a fast-acting neurotransmitter, best known for its role for calming nervous activity by inhibiting nerve transmission in the brain, the idea was that GABA might be the trigger for retinal regeneration. He was inspired by the results of a study in the mouse hippocampus, which found that GABA was controlling stem cell activity. So working with Patton and research assistant Professor Dominic Didiano, Rao designed a series of experiments with zebrafish, an important animal model for studying regeneration. And this experiment, or the series of experiments, determined that high concentrations of GABA in the retina kept the Mueller glia quiescent, and that they begin de-differentiating and then proliferating when GABA concentrations drop. Here's a quote. Last month, a paper was published in the journal called Cell, and the paper reported that GABA levels play a central role in the regeneration of pancreas cells, according to Patton. We now have three instances, he said, where GABA is involved in regeneration: the hippocampus, the pancreas, and the retina. So this could be an important, previously unknown role for the GABA neurotransmitter. They tested their hypothesis in two ways: by blinding zebrafish and injecting them with drugs that stimulate GABA production, and by injecting normal zebrafish with an enzyme that lowers the GABA levels in their eyes. Zebrafish are easily blinded. If they are in total darkness for several days and then exposed to very bright light, all the photoreceptors in their retinas are destroyed. Due to their robust regenerative ability, however, their eyes recover in just 28 days. When the biologists injected drugs that kept the GABA concentrations in the retinas of the newly blinded fish at a high level, they found that this suppressed the regeneration process. On the other hand, when they injected the enzyme that lowers the GABA levels in the eyes of normal fish, they found that the Mueller glia began de-differentiating and proliferating, which is the first stage in the regeneration process. A quote, our theory is that a drop in GABA concentration is the trigger for regeneration. It initiates a cascade of events that includes the activation of the Mueller glia and the production of various growth factors that stimulate cell growth and proliferation. And this is according to Dr. Patton. And he continues by saying, if we are correct, then it might be possible to stimulate human retinas to repair themselves by treating them with a GABA inhibitor. The researchers' next step is to determine if GABA not only stimulates Mueller glia de-differentiation and proliferation, but also causes the differentiation that produces new photoreceptors and the other specialized neurons in the retina. They are pursuing this in both zebrafish and mice with a grant from the National Eye Institute's program called Audacious Goals Initiative. This research was funded by the National Eye Institute, and now you know that research is indeed being done on fish eyes. Next, now don't be grossed out with this, but I have a statement for you to think about. If you're not eating the eyeballs, you are missing the tastiest part of the fish. Consider popping one of these umami-flavored suckers right into your pie hole. You won't regret it. This information comes from Esquire.com. And it was written, the article was written by Maxine Wally. It was published in March of this year, 2018. Maxine Wally says, growing up with a Chinese mother and a Jewish father, I was exposed to a range of practices and beliefs that varied in their levels of hilarity and veracity. One custom from the Chinese side stated that at mealtime, in the event that a whole fish, the head and the tail on for good luck and good fortune, if this whole fish was on the table, the most honorable guest received the eyeballs to eat. Well, thanks to my voracious appetite and my sister's total disinterest in munching on slimy fish eyes, that honor was bestowed upon me. I still felt special, even if I won by default. After scooping the eye from the socket of whichever unlucky mackerel or sea bass that landed on our table, I'd hold it in my mouth and savor the gooey outer layer before biting into the crispy, wafer-like center, letting the rich umami flavor of the ocean floor dance across my tongue. Slurp, yum. Are you hungry yet? I know how it sounds. Outside the home, I was embarrassed to admit to my classmates or friends that I ate eyeballs. I thought they might see it as gross or even barbaric. The eyes are part of the face, which cradles the brain, the ultimate provider of identity. Eyes are the windows into the soul. But I figured people would squirm at the prospect of consuming something that reminded them of being human. But my days of hiding the unconventional stuff I eat are over, and I urge you to give eyeballs a hearty go. Beyond the best reason to eat fish eyes, namely that they're delicious, Chinese folks swear by their nutritional advantages as well. The eyeball is said to stimulate brain cells and stave off memory loss, courtesy of a pair of unsaturated fatty acids called DHA and EPA. My mom, of course, fully bought into this theory. Eat the eye, she said, and you'll be smart. Additionally, the head itself, another part you should eat, is chocked full of omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin A, and protein. The Chinese aren't the only ones throwing back eyeballs. Russians use fish heads, the peepers and all, in a soup called ukha. It's spelled U-K-H-A. That's in Russia. In Iceland, where I just returned from, they serve a traditional dish called svio, S-V-I-O, or boiled sheep's head, and every appendage must be consumed by the end of the meal. Any Sri Lankan will tell you it's customary to eat the entire fish to avoid waste. And yes, that does include the eyes. Well, maybe they'll make you smarter. You will likely feel a little more cultured, but you'll definitely stimulate your taste buds with a saline flavor like you've never experienced before. So the next time you're presented with a whole fish, tell the folks sitting around you to fall back because you're the honorable guest. And this eye's for you. Well, next I have presenting a different side of this fish eye story. This one is titled, It's a Myth, You Won't See Better by Eating Fish Eyes. This is published in the South China Morning Post in August of 2015. The website is www.scmp.com. The article was written by Sasha Gonzalez, and it starts out by saying, by all means, eat fish, as well as leafy green vegetables and egg yolks to maintain eye health and eyesight, as they are rich in antioxidants. But fish eyes contain nothing special. Does eating fish eyes improve your eyesight? Well, the straight answer is no. The facts are these. Regular consumption of fatty fish is generally understood to be good for your eyesight. However, the same cannot be said for fish eyes. Sally Poon, a registered dietitian from a company called Private Dietitian, says there is no evidence to suggest that fish eyes contain any important nutrients. If you want to prevent deteriorating eyesight and maintain the health of your eyes, you should follow a balanced and antioxidant-rich diet. Nutrients for healthy eyes include lutein and zeaxanthin, vitamin C and E, and omega-3 fatty acids. And here's a quote. Lutein and zeaxanthin are abundant in leafy greens like spinach, kale, turnip greens, broccoli, and collards, she says. A study published in the Archives of Ophthalmology, now known as JAMA Ophthalmology, found that a high intake of these antioxidant carotenoids reduced the risk of cataracts by 18%. And this is a quote from a dietitian called Sally Poon. The article continues, egg yolks, too, are rich in lutein. A study in the Journal of Nutrition revealed that eating one egg a day can increase levels of both lutein and zeaxanthin in the bloodstream. The researchers found that lutein levels increased by 26% and zeaxanthin levels increased by 38% during the weeks that participants consumed just one egg per day. Next, a quote from our dietitian friend. The research team also noted that adding a daily egg to participants' diets did not increase the total LDL, the bad, or the HDL, the good, cholesterol, or did not increase the triglycerides, an important fact for those who are still wary of eating eggs. This is according to Poon, the dietitian. Vitamin C, found in citrus fruits, red bell peppers, strawberries, broccoli, and Brussels sprouts, vitamin C has been shown to keep the eyes healthy by protecting against UV damage caused by the sun. Vitamin E, found in safflower oil, peanut butter, wheat germ, and almonds, may help prevent cataracts and age-related macular degeneration. Poon, the dietitian, says adults who follow a Mediterranean-style diet, which is high in omega-3 fatty acids, have a much lower risk of macular degeneration. And here's a quote. Again, she says, results from a study performed by researchers at the University of Sydney showed that people who ate one serving of fish per week had a 31% lower risk of early signs of age-related macular degeneration. She continues by saying, in addition, those who ate one to two servings of nuts rich in omega-3 fatty acids had a 35% lower risk of developing the disease. This is age-related macular degeneration. It is thought that omega-3 fatty acids protect the eyes by preventing the buildup of plaque in the arteries or by reducing inflammation in the retina. So the article concludes, forget those fish eyeballs, just eat the fish. Fatty fish in particular is rich in omega-3 fatty acids. Two 100-gram servings of cooked fish or 3/4 cup of flaked fish in a week are ideal. And she ends the article with a quote, enjoy your fish baked or grilled, not fried, Poon said, and choose low-fat, low-sodium seasonings like spices, herbs, and lemon juice. So there you have it, fish eyes, yes or no, what do you think? Well, while on vacation in Iceland, I also visited a place called the Ocean Cluster House, and some people just call it the Ocean Cluster. It's in the capital of the country, Reykjavik. It's a collection of small businesses that are encouraging the sustainable development of the fishing industry in their country. While there, I heard that every part of the fish is now used for something, including the skin. Now, I'm a little leery about this because it's true that the article doesn't have anything to do with the eyes or with blindness, but I still found this very interesting, and I hope you do too. The article, let's see, the article is from the World Ocean Observatory, and the headline reads, Fish Skin, a Next Best Cure for Wounds, Burns, and Chronic Skin Conditions. This was written by Peter Neal, who is the director of the World Ocean Observatory. And this was published in July of last year, July of 2017. The article says, time and again in history, we hear of natural treatments for breaks, wounds, and diseases. Our ancestors brewed herbal teas and treated wounds with moss and leaves. They otherwise practiced a healing system derived from natural materials at hand. This tradition continues in the varying practices of homeopathic medicine in both the East and the West, and in the global industry of organic supplements that offer an alternative to the synthetic and expensive methodology that characterizes the healthcare system in the U.S. and elsewhere. As medicine has become more standardized and mechanized and arbitrated by the insurance and pharmaceutical industries, we have lost some of that historical wisdom and its healing effects. The author says we speak often at the World Ocean Observatory of the innovative and effective innovations and organizations in Iceland, a small country with a big heart, big ideas, and a powerful natural environment that provides not only its energy and food requirements, but also a basis for adaptation and invention of natural products and processes to drive its 21st century economy and culture. As Iceland relies heavily on fishing in its mix of finance and labor applications, it must stay competitive against larger, industrialized fishing nations by maximizing the value of its fish products, using 100% of the fish. This seems obvious, but in the U.S., for example, our industry wastes more than half by discarding the bycatch, harvesting only specialized, high-cost species, and failing to capture the added economic opportunities of such limited application and interest. In a June of 2017 article in Bloomberg's Business Week, Lois Parshley reports on the emergence of a remarkable iteration of this approach, the development of a fish skin-based FDA-approved treatment for chronic wounds and inflammation. 100% of the fish, indeed. The only hint of its origin is a scale-like grid that provides a binding matrix around which the new and healthy skin can grow. The market implication is large. According to Parsley's article, she said, some 6.5 million Americans suffer from chronic wounds, whether related to vascular disease, diabetes maybe, or complications from normal procedures. The 5-year survival rate is 54%, and treatments cost more than $25 billion a year. I had seen this product in Reykjavik in Iceland, but it was not yet approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration until late last year. This is called, the Icelandic product is called Omega-3 Wound. The product is produced by a company called Kerecis Limited, K-E-R-E-C-I-S. This is a small company located in Ísafjörður, Iceland. This is a town of 3,000 inhabitants with a limited economy based on fishing and small-scale tourism. Kerecis Limited is a new employer at work in Ísafjörður, according to Fertram Sigurd Johnson, who is CEO of Kerecis Limited. The product has taken 9 years to develop and test successfully, using the skin of locally caught codfish that are cleaned, dried, sterilized, and packaged locally for treatment of chronic wounds, burns, oral cancer, internal, cosmetic, reconstructive surgeries, and other applications for the reduction of inflammation and pain. So what we have here is a turning of the cycle of knowledge, the rediscovery and the reapplication of the healing property of fish oil, which has been rebranded Omega-3, harvested as a value-added product from a traditional food product, enabling new employment for fishing communities, and providing innovative, more powerful treatment for injuries and many other conditions that can be better and faster healed by a natural process derived from the ocean. Well, that's the true message here, that the ocean has such an enormous, both known and unknown, implication for human health. When we fail to use it well, or worse, when we despoil it or exhaust it, we are depriving ourselves and our children from its healing properties. In a simple bandage, a new medicine, or the purity of the food we eat, the water we drink, and the air we breathe, The sea connects all things. Next, we have a little bit about Kerecis Limited. Is the fastest growing startup coming out of Iceland. And it's a founding member of the Iceland Ocean Cluster House, which is where I went to visit. The Iceland Ocean Cluster promotes the Icelandic marine biotechnology industry, uniting companies and assisting them in approaching U.S. markets and markets in other countries, and finding investors. The mission of the Iceland Ocean Cluster is to create value and discover new opportunities by connecting entrepreneurs, businesses, and knowledge in the marine industries. Kerecis Limited is one of the most innovative marine biotech companies in the world. A video called Healing with Fish first appeared as a 5-minute audio episode on a program called World Ocean Radio. Host Peter Neal, who wrote this article, is founder and director of the World Ocean Observatory, a web-based place of exchange of information and educational services about the health of the world's oceans. Well, now, of course, to end today's program, of course, I have a quote about fishing. And it is this: when you fish for love, bait with your heart, not with your brain. This quote comes from the beloved American author Mark Twain. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.